to Identity Church Sunday morning message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Okay, you guys ready? Put your hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, I give you complete access to reveal to me who you are, dimensions of you that I have resisted, that I have tried to quench, and I ask for you to help me, to yield to you, to mold me into the image of Christ, in Jesus' name. Well, there it is. Got my little play toys. You got anything, Bo? Do you need to do it now? You sure? Okay. Listen, I really feel like that we need some altar time today when we're done. I don't do a lot of altar calls. You know that. There's times where God will pinpoint you, highlight you, but I just really felt like sometimes you just got to get in the altar and say, here, God, how Saudi Arabia? Did you leave it intact? That'd be okay. Women can drive now. Whoo, that's scary. A whole country. Women can drive now. Wow. Listen, Stages of Blasphemy is one of the first messages God gave me when I first got saved. Some of it is my testimony. Some of it is how I learned to walk with God. To really get some deep healing and to go back and reflect on the history of when I was 5 years old and I accepted Jesus in my life, and then I turned into a full-blown heathen that in my early 30s, a businessman took me to lunch who was a documented atheist. My marriage was coming apart. My business was coming apart. My life was coming apart. And this atheist man sat me down and he says, your world is coming apart. And he says, why don't you give your life to Jesus? An atheist told me to get saved. Why? Because I had walked this message that I'm going to teach and preach today. And I came to a place, crossroads in the where I met Christ. And I had a violent act of grace that happened in my life. And so I want you to hear. My goal is to get you into the altar, to soul search, to investigate where are you at. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. What is blasphemy? To define, to defame, to reveal, revile, to slander, to make mockery. That's what blasphemy is. I was born and raised in church. One of the things that I had heard from the Pentecostal, heavy religious Pentecostal upbringing was, if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you're done. It was like one, you know, you cross the line and God's going to whack you stone dead. You know, it's like Susie said, her mom was so afraid of the rapture that if they couldn't find her, they thought the rapture had taken place. And she's only got locked out of their house, but she thought God had showed up. You know, the fear of some of the Pentecostal movement was fear and not facts. But the bottom line is, I was taught if you said something about the Holy Ghost, you could die. I thought it was just, you know, well, and part of my message, I actually made a conscious decision that me and the Holy Ghost didn't have a good day. So I just went out in front of your yard and shot a bird to him. Told him to go, I'm done. And he didn't kill me. And I went, oh, I thought I'd die. The bottom line was, I was actually too big of a coward to surrender. I wanted to commit suicide. And I was too big of a coward to do it myself, so I'd hoping he would do it for me. Okay, that's a whole nother message. In other words, blasphemy is to make a mockery, to slander. Who is the Holy Ghost? He is the only part of the Godhead living on the earth in your heart. He's the sensitivity side of God. He is the revealer of Christ. He is the revealer of the Father. And he lives in your heart. Say that. He lives in my heart. The Godhead lives in my heart because the Holy Spirit lives there. What's the big deal? Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. Listen, that's the bottom line. And we have sowed a lot of things. Listen, when I started walking with God, my first revelation of this was, dear Lord, I need crop failure. I've sowed some stupid seed. Yeah. Oh, well. What is the Holy Spirit's responsibility? John 16:8-11. And when he comes, he being Holy Ghost, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and they see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. This is the primary responsibility that the Holy Spirit has been sent from God the Father, God the Son, to live in you to do those three things. To deal with the sin things through Jesus Christ. To understand that it's the Father, it's the righteousness of the Father that rests on you. But listen, it's also to judge the prince of this world. Conviction of sin. Personal activity. Listen, you heard Ron's message. You've heard Gary's message. Listen, God has set us up today to really say, what kind of church are we going to be? I was driving back from Jacksonville the other day, and there was this van called the Pentecostals. And they pulled up into a storefront. And the Holy Spirit's like, I want you to go bless them. I'm like, oh, God, I don't even want to talk to them. The women are going to come out with this thing on their head. And they're going to have long dresses. And they're going to make sure I go shunda hunda. And I don't do it in your name. They're going to dunk me in your name only. And so I had all my reasons of why I didn't want to go bless the Pentecostals. And he said, you go bless them. This morning, I'm sitting in the parking lot praying about this morning. And the Lord says, are you going to be family? Because when you preach this message today, first and foremost, something will happen between you and me. And when it happens between you and me individually, we become family. Right? Because he's about the Father. The Father is about family. And so as we let the Holy Spirit separate us from the things of the world, we become more family. And I'm sitting there, and this white pickup truck pulls up. And this pregnant lady pours out a Dr. Pepper and puts her coffee, and the Lord says, is she fat or pregnant? I'm like, I don't know. Could go either way. And I'm just thinking out loud. And so So she gets out, she has a little boy there, and she's cleaning the snot off his nose. And the Lord says, this is a family that's increasing. I want you to bless them. And all of a sudden, the father comes out, and he says, been promoted to dad. And I just said, what are you doing? He said, listen, you were sitting here. I'm sitting here talking to you about trying to make Identity Church a family, and there's a family. I want you to go bless them. So I followed him into Bagel King. And I knew I was buying them some bagels. So I'm sitting behind them and they're ordering, let me have 6 of those, 9 of those. I'm like, holy moly. I mean, these people were on it. And so they go to pay. And I'm like, I step in. I'm said, here, I would like to take care of that. And they go, what? I go, I'll explain in a minute. And it wasn't cheap. And so they get the stuff and they have to wait on the other. So we go and I said, listen, I'm pastor down at the church down here, and the Lord told me about family, and that you're a family, and it's evident that your family's growing. And I said, he just told me to tell you he's proud of you. And I says, when I saw your shirt promoted to dad, I says, you know, that represents God the Father. And God the Father loves his kids. And as God teaches you to love your kids, it's a representation. They start bawling. See, I have no problem blessing struggling families, but I have problems blessing Pentecostals. That's a whole nother message. So conviction of sin, my personal activity, your involvement with worldly activities, the Holy Spirit is a separator. Now listen, if we're going to walk with the Holy Ghost, he is going to separate you because of your personal activities. He's going to clarify righteousness. He reveals what is pleasing to him and what is not pleasing from heaven's viewpoint. Listen, if you're going to walk with the Holy Spirit, he will tell you what he likes and what he doesn't like. And if you're going to walk with him, you're going to address the things in your life that doesn't please him. Leif Hetland says it this way. He said, that's a dove sitting on your shoulder, not a pigeon. The dove, you must create an environment that makes the dove happy or he flies. A pigeon will do anything, whatever you want, as long as you feed me. The Holy Ghost is not a pigeon, he's a dove. Conviction of judgment of Satan's kingdom. He judges source. The Holy Spirit will judge source. When you're walking with the Holy Spirit, you can hear the same verbiage from a Christian and go, ooh, that's good. You can hear the same verbiage from a non-Christian, and there's something, you discern the source of that knowledge. Matthew 12, 31 and 32. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven man, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven man. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Let me tell you something. My youngest son, he was getting cocky. And not obeying his mother. And she threatened to slap him around a few times, and it didn't work. And so I said to him, I said, listen, dude. He said, don't talk to your mother that way. If you do, I'm going to pound you. Yeah. 2 weeks later, he's talking to his mother the same way. Finally, I said to him, listen, I've warned you once. This is your second warning. If you don't quit disrespecting your mother, I'm going to pound you like a redheaded stepchild. Oh, sorry. Dang. Just kidding, Charles. So a third week shows up and he disrespects her again. I grab him. I bounce him down the hallway. I physically throw him around. I bounce him around. I go, evidently, you don't give a flip about your mother, but you don't talk to my wife that way. Yeah. And I get him down. I say, that's my wife. I won't let you do that again. Let me tell you something. I think God, in some ways, is tired of the way we talk to his wife. Listen, God is male and female. Let that sink in. Sean Matthews showed up to the house a week after that, and both him and Sean was trying to get mom to do something. She said no. And she and Sean goes, come on. He goes, hey, you don't talk to my dad's wife that way. Look at the contents of verses 23 through 31. A house divided will not stand. And all the people were amazed and said, can this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, it is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this man cast out demons. Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself can stand. Well, listen, I'm telling you, when you won't listen to the Holy Ghost, you are a divided house. And Satan cast out Satan. He is divided against himself. How will this kingdom stand? And if it cast out demons by Beelzebub, you know that dude, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judge. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. How can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless first he binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Listen, therefore I say, you got all this division, all this, who you're going to serve. Listen, a house divided, you're going to have to figure out you're going to figure out what spirit you're going to listen to. You're going to listen to your emotions and live by your emotions and wonder why you have no real peace, or you're going to listen to the Prince of Peace. Listen, the Prince of Peace has real peace. Everything else is a substitute, or everything else is the longevity is not there. But the Holy Spirit can look beyond your time frames, look beyond what you see, and tell you where your future is if we'll listen to Him. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven man, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven man. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven. Listen, you can talk about Jesus, but everyone speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, neither in this age or in the age to come. It means a little bit different when you understand the contents of what he's quoted that in. Are you a divided house? Are you a divided house? A house divided will not stand. I was saved at 5. I walked out this message until I was 33 years old, August 30th, 1993. I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I spoke in tongues. I had an encounter with God. I had met angels. I had angelic encounters at an early age. I was called to be a prophet sent from my mother's womb. What happened? About 13, my mother rebuked me, and I walked out in the front yard, and I shot a bird to God. I tried to get God to kill me. Here's the problem, guys. God's not a murderer. He requires your surrender. We're wanting resurrection power, but we're not giving him anything dead. Colossians says it this way, you mortify the deeds of the flesh. We're wanting Jesus to come mortify, to mortify, to destroy what he's given us the ability to. That's a good word. You can say amen, Ron. And listen, the title of this message is The Stages of Blasphemy. I preach this message in Baptist churches. I preach this message in Methodist churches. It's the Pentecostals that I have the most problems with. Because see, when I was born and raised in that hard Pentecostal religious system, and I had these encounters with God. Listen, in 1993, Jesus walked through the wall. I prayed the prayer, if you're the God of my mother, she said you had power. If you have that kind of power, you can give me a new heart. But I'm an evil, lying whoremonger, and if you don't give me a new heart, I can't serve you. I'm not walking the aisle again. I'm not bending my knee again. I'm not going to get baptized again. The bottom line is I need a new heart. If you're that God, then you can have me. But until you change me, I make no commitments. Well, lightning went off in the room. Jesus showed up. He stuck his hand out and he says, Charlie Coker, you put your hand in my hand, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Or he points, I'll let hell have its way with you. The loving, sweet baby Jesus in a manger just decided that he could kill me. See, some of you met sweet Jesus, savior of all. I met the Lion of Judah, and he had life and death in his hand, and he is willing to sacrifice mine. So maybe I'm a little rougher than you, but just keep chewing on your ice, okay? And be cool about it. He threatened to kill me. He threatened to kill me. Here's your choice, life and death. Serve me or I'll let hell have its way with you. Here's the problem. We want to argue about once saved, always saved. If you're at that level of argument, you need to get saved. You need to repent just a little more.
Come on.
If that's your argument so you can stay in your lifestyle of sin,
Amen.
You're in trouble. Here's a private story. Is all this happens, and you know, Susie didn't get saved yet, or she was already a saint yet, somewhere along there. God tells me He's going to heal all this, and I start walking with God, and I realize this week when I don't want to bless the Pentecostal van, the guy in the Pentecostals, I still have some of my own prejudices. Still, all these years, 25 years later, so. I go to a friend of mine's house. I have this radical encounter with God. I go to a friend of mine's house, knock on his door. His name's Tommy Council. And I said, "Hey, dude, I don't know if you heard, I got saved." And he's just freaking out. He goes, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Jesus showed up." And he's just, "I was happy." And he's afraid. I go, "What, Tommy?" He goes, "Listen, man, God told me a couple weeks ago to come talk to you." I said, "Why didn't you?" He goes, "The last time I told you about Jesus, you had a rifle in your hand. You threatened to shoot me." I'm like, "Well, you should listen to God." And he goes, "Listen," he goes, "now that you're a Christian," he says, "we have this course at our Baptist church called Survival Kit. It's for new believers. It'd be really, really good. I think you should go." I'm like, "Yeah, okay. I'm not going to a Baptist church." I knew I was supposed to go. I'll pray about it. Some of you need to quit praying about some things and deal with some things. So the next week, his sister comes by my house because Susie and I are in the middle of a divorce. Got something. She goes, "Hey, I heard you became a Christian. I'm taking this course in my brother's little Baptist church called Survival Kit. I think it'll be good." I knew I was supposed to go. I'm like, "Yeah, I'll pray about it. You know, I'm a tongue-talking tree. I can raise the dead now. And you put me in the Baptist. Maybe I'm supposed to go and just blow this place up and teach them about the Holy Ghost. I've been saved like 2 weeks now. Y'all need Jesus." So the third week, I mean, we're in the middle of, me and Susie in the middle of a divorce. I'm selling one of my houses and had an issue with the rental house and cut my finger working on the pool. It's 2:30 in the afternoon. I'm miserable. 3 weeks of disobedience to the Holy Spirit. You know, that little inner voice. I won't go to a Baptist church. I speak in tongues. He's leading me to go to a Baptist church. I'm miserable. Anybody understand conviction?
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't condemnation yet. It was still conviction. Why? Because he's still a leader. So I cut my finger. It's 2:30 in the afternoon. I'm miserable. Susie doesn't love me. I can't understand why, because God said he's going to heal everything. Why doesn't it happen instantly? You know, if you're an idiot in your marriage for 20 years, give God a break, okay? It takes a little time because no one trusts you. That's a whole nother message Susie can preach later. You got to earn that. So I pull on Highway 20. I'm speeding down the road, and this trooper pulls me over. I'm like, "Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it." And he's writing me a ticket. The Holy Spirit goes, "You know, I really wanted you to go to that Baptist church. What's your problem?" I'm like, "God, I don't want to talk about it." And all of a sudden, conviction hits me. Says this trooper, "Here's my license. Here's, I just got to go." I start crying. The Holy Spirit wants to talk about my disobedience of not going to a Baptist church while I'm getting a ticket from a trooper. Great time to talk, God. I start bawling. This trooper goes, "Sir, are you okay?" "Yes, sir. Just give me my ticket. Let me go home." I mean, I'm bawling. I'm crying. And he goes, "Sir, are you okay?" I said, "Yes. Just give me my ticket and let me go home. I can't quit crying. God wants to talk along the highway with a trooper there." He looks and he goes, "Sir, are you okay?" I'm thinking, "Listen, I just became a Christian 3 weeks ago, and I thought it would be better than this, but I'm miserable as hell, and I need to go home." The guy throws his book and thing. He goes, "Sir," he goes, "I'm a Christian. I believe you're not supposed to be miserable." And he prays for me. He prays for Susie. He prays for my marriage. He prays for my new walk with Jesus. And then he goes, "You know, we have this little course at my Baptist church called Survival Kit. I'll be there Sunday." He looks at me and he goes, "Are you Tommy Council's friend?" He pulls out, he had me on the prayer list. So I show up at the Baptist church and said to the preacher, "I guess I'm supposed to be here, but I have a little bit of problem with some of you Baptists." "What's that?" I says, "You believed in once saved, always saved. You don't believe in divine healing, and you don't believe in speaking in tongues." He says, "Well, let's discuss that." He goes, "Speaking in tongues, Acts chapter 2. He goes right to it, reads it, and he goes, "I believe it's biblical. I do believe it's misused. And here's where I think it's misused. Can you live with that?" I'm like, "Shanda handa by shinkin yasha." He says, "Divine healing, are you sick?" I said, "No." And he says, "And what's your problem?" "If you get sick," he goes to call the elders, anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and divine healing. He says, "We believe in healing." "Okay." He goes, "What's this? Once saved, always saved." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Are you saved?" I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Are you going to stay saved?" I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "What is your problem?" See, because as a Pentecostal, you can lose your salvation between the house and the church. And if you're married, you can do it halfway there. So how did I get from walking with the Holy Ghost to him threatening to kill me? Stage one, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. "And grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed unto the day of redemption." To grieve is to bring to distress, to be in heaviness, to make one sorrowful. Listen, I was grieving the Spirit when he was whispering, "Go to this church." Some of you are grieving the Spirit when he says, "Go repent to your spouse." Maybe for not what you said, but for the way you said it. "Well, I'm right." Okay, you can be right. You'll be sleeping alone here in a little bit. It grieves me to think of you in that situation. Ron reads horrifying things, but does it really grieve him? When we could hear destruction in humanity and it not grieve us, are we really walking with the Spirit? Holy Spirit convicted, but I would not repent. Many of us are hearing the voice of conviction, but we will not repent because of our pride. And what happens is that this is the day-to-day walk with the Lord. Grieve not the Spirit. Listen, I know that there's been times where I'm walking with the Holy Ghost. It's like my girlfriend walking with, and I'll say something really crude or dumb, and all of a sudden I realize I'm walking and the Holy Ghost still stands there, and it's like I left. No, my salvation wasn't lost, but his presence was removed. The dove flew. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Stage two, do not resist the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. "You stiff-necked, uncircumcised heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you." As your fathers did. Some of this grieving happens because he will whisper for us to go repent for the sins of our fathers, but because it wasn't us, we won't do it. See, you think you have to understand why he asked you to go do something. And when you don't understand it, you resist him. "When I really understand this, I'll obey you." Oh, really?
Yeah.
How many people have children? How's that working out for you? As your fathers did. Some of this walking with the intimacy of the Holy Spirit, he will walk you through processes that break your generational curses, the sins of your father's father. By just merely going, "Hey, I don't know why. Well, just forgive me for that." Mine was racism. He had me go repent to an African American who played in the NFL and everything else. And come to find out, my grandfather was a prophet and a member of the KKK. I didn't know he was leading me to fix some things. I didn't understand it till years later. But if I would have obeyed easier and quicker, I would have been so much further on my journey with God. Because sometimes, see, you think you got to understand everything else to live beyond understanding. What you're saying is, I don't really trust you, and I want to evaluate the journey before I engage. And then you start resisting. To withstand by action or attitude. I'm going to call some of you to the altar today, and guess the first thing you're going to do? Like a child that pulls his shoulders away from his parent. Come here, son. Nah. You seen that? That's what Brian did for 3 weeks. Until I got him. I couldn't resist buying that new blouse. That was for you females. I don't wear blouses. Yes. Listen, sometimes the Holy Spirit, you're asking for financial breakthrough, and the Holy Spirit is telling you not to buy something. And you're resisting that still small voice that really, truly, if you knew what he really hadn't planned for you, you wouldn't resist the push of the Holy Ghost. Had a preacher one time that I was in covenant with. We were praying every Tuesday, and he went out and bought a BMW and knew that he shouldn't have bought the BMW. He says, "What'd I do?" And I said, "I go give it back to him." I said, "I wouldn't drive a cursed car." That went over well. So he actually gave the car back. And we were praying every week. He was driving one of my cars at the time because he had no car. And every week he's driving the car and we're praying. Long and short of it, I'm going to shorten this story, is God tells me to give him my car. And so I had the title in my pocket, had approved it with my wife, knew it was God. He's driving a Nissan Sentra that we had. And I call him up on a Saturday to meet with him to give him the title. I said, "Hey, man, I need to talk to you." He calls me, "Hey, guess what?" He said, "I bought a car today." I went, "Really?" He said, I thought we talked about you wouldn't do it until you knew it was God. He goes, "Yeah, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do." I said, "Oh, really?" I go, "What'd you buy?" He goes, "I bought the same car that I'm driving, except it's a year older with 50,000 more miles on it than yours. It's exact. So I believe it's God." I'm like, "You okay?" I hung up the phone. I go, "God, he's a certified idiot." The question is, did I miss God? So I was irritated because I wanted my blessing. Because when you do these things, you want your blessing. But this guy is resisting the Holy Spirit. We made a deal that he would not buy a car until he heard God. Then he resists the Holy Ghost and buys it. 2 years later, he's moving to another city and wanted me to work on one of his paddle fans. So I go in there, and he's got another preacher and his wife in the house. They're going, "Hey, Charlie, man, pray that we sell this house real quick so we know." I'm like, "Dude, I ain't wasting my breath on your prayers." He goes, "Why?" I says, "That Nissan you still got out there, you still making payments on it?" "Well, yeah, got another year." I said, "Let me tell you a story." He goes, "What?" I said, "Yeah, I had the title." I said, "You resisted the Holy Ghost, you had your way, and you're still making payments on it." I looked at him and I go, "I ain't praying for your house to sell." And I walked out. Unhealed wounds will give a platform to resist. Did you hear me? Unhealed wounds will give you a platform to resist. Church junk, sexual abuse, all excuses. You will start resisting the Holy Spirit because of your wounds. That's when you need to see Gary and Pastor Mike and Lisa get some wounds healed. Stage 3, do not quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. To quench is a prolonged form of, or to extinguish, or to let go out, to let it go out. Listen, sometimes you just need to get full of the Holy Ghost. You need an infilling. The one preacher's in there praying to God, "God, fill me up." And his wife's in there going, "God, watch out, he leaks." Quenching the Spirit is to put the fire out or not be fed the passion and of love toward Jesus. You've got this. Is the first three stages are your complete responsibility of walking with God. When you won't do the first three, this is when you start getting in trouble. Hebrews 3, 8, and 12. Harden not your heart. It is in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work 40 years. Therefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, do not always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore into my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Would you start hardening your heart is where Jesus quits being your shepherd. When you have areas of a hard heart, Jesus is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you wind up with wants longer than it's supposed to be wants, he is not your shepherd. He's no longer providing. We go hard-hearted in areas. If you're walking with the Holy Spirit and you are continually beyond the limitations of, listen, we all have bad weeks. We all have bad months. Some of us have bad years. But if it is a continual cycle of death in your life, there's a heart area. Go back to stage 1, 2, and 3 and figure out which one it is and start walking the process of getting rid of your hard heart, your accusativeness, your judgmental, your critical, whatever it is. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief. So hard heart and unbelief come into the same thing. Departing from what? The living God. Would you go into stage 4? Your hard heart becomes the new mandate of your attitude. And then we become accusative and say, God's not a good God. Wow. Stubbornness and hard heart. Stage 5. We start calling good evil and evil good. Isaiah 5:20, call evil good and good evil. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. When you go past a hard heart, you will find a bitter root in the heart about something. Listen, and don't think because you're so spiritual and you use Christian language that you don't consider the church evil many times. And we talk evil about the ministry. We talk evil about preachers. We talk evil about the body of Christ. Well, you better figure out why your heart is that hard. What happened to your situation? Where's your unforgiveness and your unbelief that has hardened your heart that you can no longer hear the voice of God whisper for you to go fix something? Betrayal, rebellion, abuse, unforgiveness. Where is it? It's there because if you are been filled with the Holy Ghost, and now you are starting to look at something that is evil and calling it good. Then you go into a reprobate mind. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 and 32. And even they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate, a debased mind, to do things which were not even convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Wow. Disobedient to parents. That's among that list. Do you see a large portion of our country there? See, we want to talk about all that, but we don't want to go to whisper to somebody that God loves them to soften their heart. So we think we're just going to throw their evil to them and get them to turn. No, they don't even know what love is anymore. They don't know that God loves them. And I don't care if they're homosexual. And I understand homosexual is not, I'm not going to call it, I believe homosexuality is wrong in God's eyes, but I'm not going to call it evil. I'm going to say God is good, even in spite of it. Yeah. And I'm going to get to the hard heart area of their heart to where they can find the love of Christ again and get back into relationship with Holy Ghost. Without understanding, covenant breaking, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, count the cost that they which commit such things are worthy of death, do not do the same, but have pleasure in them that do so. Listen. Ron mentioned, 60% of pastors are on porn. I've counseled a lot of them. That is my history. So when God starts healing me in those areas, I had accountability. My wife did not trust me as far as she could see me because of my history. But when God started healing some things in my life and she knew that I was under pressure, you go to your own medication, whether it's porn, whether it's alcohol, whether it's a drug addiction, you're going to find something to cover your pain. Okay. You can go to Christ or you can go to other things. And going to Christ is good. But what happened to that small whisper that told you where he was at? What happened to that small whisper of the Holy Spirit? Go repent to your mother-in-law. I don't like that woman. Go tell her you're sorry. I'm like, no, my mom's in New York. She's coming down. I won't have to ever talk to Susie's mom again. My mom goes, God told me I can't come down. Mom, I had an encounter with God. Jesus walked through the walls. I need you. God told me I can't come to Florida. I'm staying in New York. God, why? I want you to go repent to your mother-in-law. My mother-in-law's a Jezebel. I don't care. Go repent to your mother-in-law. My mother-in-law's a pain in the ass. I got the list. Go ask her to forgive you. Go ask Susie's sister to forgive you. Go repent for people you slept with. Her husband has a gun. Yeah, go tell him you're sorry. Are you kidding me? I get accused of stealing a blueprint and building a house, which I calculated it and because I calculated my sin because I understand copyright laws and if I do this, but the motive was I stole a blueprint. Let's get real. You can't hide your motive from God. The legality side of it I could probably get away with, but not with God because he's God. And he puts his finger on the judgment of the accusation. Go tell the man you're sorry. He's going to sue me. Go tell him, ask him to forgive you. No! So I go and talk to the guy. He sues me for $100,000 in federal court. I have to make a decision. I'm like, God, what are you doing? You set me up. My attorney is so mad. He goes, are you an idiot? He goes, it's going to cost you $50,000 for me to cover your case. And by the way, you're going to lose. Why? Because you told him you were wrong. You tried to buy your way out of it. No, I tried to bless him. Why did you do this, God? God is stripping the pride. He's stripping the ego. He's stripping everything out of my life. Why? That little small voice that I followed put me in a pickle. Why? Because he wanted to pickle me. He wanted to get something out of me. Most of you won't find God because you don't know how God's going to change you into his image. I called my attorney. I said, I got till 1 o'clock to make a decision. My attorney says, you're going to lose. I went home and prayed and I said, God, what do I do? You got me in the middle of this. I tried to follow that still small voice, that just walks right into this stuff and you have no fear. I'm petrified. This man shot himself as evidence that someone else hated him. He's corrupt. But I had shared the gospel with him 3 times, even though I stole his blueprints. What do I do? The same still small voice that put me in that pickle said, call him up and tell him this. I'm not doing that, Lord. Okay. Then you better get your checkbook out. Do it my way. I said, why, Lord? He said, I'm going to get this pride out of you. You know how when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you're like, oh, my gosh. So I pick up the phone. Hey, Danny, how you doing? It's Charlie. Where's my money? Let me talk to you about that. I said, Dan, we both know I'm guilty. Will you show me mercy? He goes, what the blank did you say? I said, you know I'm guilty. I know I'm guilty. Will you show me mercy? He cusses me out, hangs up on me. 30 minutes later, I get a phone call from his attorney in Miami Beach. I don't know what the blankety blank you did with Danny. He's never done this. Right now, I think it was $12,000 between me, my builder, and the architect. That's what he had spent on preparing a federal case. He goes, put a check in the mail tomorrow, and it's gone. What was God doing? He was breaking a hard heart. Listen, that man is evil in comparison to me. The man was that kind of business guy, just so he wanted to strangle. And I had to ask him for mercy. Years later, his secretary calls me and she goes, I don't know if you know that Danny went out to Central and got saved. I'm like, dang, am I going to get my money back? That's the first thought. Is he going to give me my money back? Nah. I haven't got any of my money back. And I said to God, why did you do that? And he said, son, that was more for you than him, because I was dealing with pride in your heart. You asked me to deal with your hard heart, the area of your hard heart, things that you were calling good that were actual evil, things that were evil you were calling good. He says, and you could have used the fact that he's an evil man and made an excuse to manipulate, and I wouldn't let you. He says, and by the way, it only cost you $6,000. And he's heard the gospel 4 times. I'm like, I don't think I want to preach for you anymore. They're supposed to give you an offering. So what stage of blasphemy are you at with your hard heart? Stage 7. This is the scary stage. Genesis 6:3. And the Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with man. For that he is all also is flesh. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet one day shall be 120 years old. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. 1 Corinthians 5:5. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. What am I saying? God saw the corruption in Genesis. He wipes out the corruption, but he leaves a little 8-member family so he can start over. He won't strive with your corruption forever. He will leave a way of escape for you. What are you willing to go through to find that sight of God? If you refuse the violent act of grace on the cross of Jesus Christ, listen, I used to think that God showed up at my house and threatened to kill me, which he did. If you don't choose to walk with me, I'm going to let hell have its way with you. What was he doing there in that moment with me personally? He was pointing me to the violent act of grace, which is the cross, as my way of escape. If you don't apply the violent act of grace of the cross, God will let you slip into eternity. Now, I preach this in Baptist churches that believe in once saved, always saved, and I never come to the conclusion. I believe I was saved. But I believe I had come to a point where if I had not made a surrender, the Lord was going to let me lose my mind and kill my flesh, and I'd be in heaven today. But if you're at stages 5, 6, or 7, you're way out of the ballpark. There are prophets that I know that have world-class gifts that would not let the Holy Spirit separate their lifestyles, who they died in their 50s. That was a violent act of grace because they were no longer usable on the earth. They had resisted holiness. They had resisted the Holy Spirit to get them to deal with the root issues of their lifestyles. I've personally been involved with that. I've personally have told that kind of caliber. Listen, the Lord says, choose life or death. So my question is, have you prepared for your personal act of violent grace? If you've got addictions, if you've got hard hearts, if you've got areas in your life that you can't get free of. You need an encounter with the one who holds your life in his hands. Yes. Which stage are you at today? Do you recognize when you've grieved the Holy Spirit and you get into alignment? Or do you wait 2 or 3, 4 or 5 days? Have you waited 3 or 4 or 5 days, 6 days, 2 weeks, and now you're resisting? You know, that Dan Collins guy, I really don't want to be around him anymore. And I resist him. He may be the very one who God gives the word that brings my divine healing. Yeah. I'm resisting the man because I don't like something he said or something he did. I'm just kidding. Okay, yes, you're okay. Or have you actually quenched the spirit? That's really what the prophetic word that Gary was saying and Ron was saying. So much of it, we've actually quenched the spirit. Where's your fire? The Holy Spirit is trying to be so personal to us that we can buy Bagel King and watch them weep because God said he was proud of them. But he couldn't get me past a Pentecostal van. What have you hardened your heart in? What area? What are you calling evil? And what are you calling evil that's good? So when I won't go bless the Pentecostals, they're not evil. They're different. And what did I do? I said, I'm not blessing them. I'm not writing them a check. See, you think it's all about homosexuality and sex trafficking. No, it's about your critical heart. I was calling people that love God. They have different doctrine than I have. And I was considering them evil, and I would not bless them. Oh, but Charlie will buy a budding family breakfast and call that good so I don't feel evil. Thank God I don't believe I'm in stage six. Thank God he's still striving with me. When God the Father stops disciplining you as a son, you're in trouble. You're in lots of trouble. Could someone come to the piano? Could someone come to this piano beside Susie? Time, Bo. Yeah. Come on, Bo. Listen, this altar is going to be open in just a minute. I want Lou and Thelma to come and Bo. God's doing something here.
I believe that God is always dealing with our hearts to bring us closer to him and also closer one with another. And this word right here, if it does not provoke your heart, you're in a dangerous place. So I believe God wants all of us, because God never stops dealing with our heart. You know, he's always drawing us closer. You know, it's a dangerous place when God's speaking to us and we no longer have the ability to hear his voice. That's why scripture says, if you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, let him, you know. So I believe in this place today, this word provokes all of our hearts to respond to the voice of God. And wherever we're at and how sensitive and obedient we are, God's bringing us to a new place in our heart with him. One of the things that God began to speak to me while we're in praise and worship is the fact that in prophetic environments such as these, in this atmosphere, especially if you're a part of this ministry for any length of time, there is an ability God will enhance for you to hear what's on his mind. But I believe at the same time, God wants us to be able to feel his heart. You know, one of the things that I appreciate about Charlie Coker is not only does he hear what's on the mind of God, he feels the heartbeat of God. And this is the place, if we're not careful, we can get to where we have a hardness of heart. The reason why we get to that place is because we continually resist the voice of God. Your ability to hear God's voice should be getting better and better. It should become clearer and clearer if you learn to respond to what he's saying to you. But the more that you do not respond, the more that you delay, the more that you say this word was for somebody else, you push the Holy Spirit away. And you also diminish your ability to hear what God is speaking to you. And so I have something I want to share that pertains to this body and to Charlie. I might share that just for a moment later.
Sure.
But I think right now, I think we all need to respond to this word right here. What is God speaking to you about? What is in your heart that's hindering the work of the Spirit of God in your life? There's healing that can only take place if you respond to the voice of God, if you humble yourself to the work of the Holy Spirit, there's deliverance that can only take place as you respond to the voice of God. And so maybe we should flow in response to that first.
Yeah, let's come to the altar. I truly believe that what I saw this morning was there's a time of consecration. I mean, we're going into that. But respond to this message today. Get along with God. Get in the altar. If your altar is at your seat, that's fine too. But it's the position of surrender. It's the position of surrender. You know, you may be doing good at stage three, but he wants stage one. He wants stage one in your life, where you're so sensitive to what he's doing, you could feel his heartbeat.
I need to do something else.
Yeah. How many of you are wanting to hear the voice of God better in your life? When God gave me this message 25 years ago, he said, your heart is like the eardrum. When your heart is so hard, it won't flex back and forth and hear my voice. Some of the reason we can't hear is our heart has gotten hard. Daniel talks about, make me a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. And I think that you just need to put your hand back on your heart. Say, God, every place that's hard, I ask you to put oil upon. Holy Spirit, your fresh oil. Soften the hard places, the criticals, the judgments. Who? Some of you need to just flat need to quit judging yourself. That's the worst. I'm here. That's the worst judgment, is you're judging yourself. You're saying you're unworthy, you're unkind, you're not in the right alignment to even have the blessings of the Lord. And that's just a lie from the pit of hell. I break that right now in Jesus' name. Let the oil come. Let the oil of the Holy Spirit come and soften that hard area of your heart. Listen, I don't believe that there's stage 5, 6, and 7 really manifested here, but I'll tell you, that's where you'll go. When people backslide and run, that's where they go into. But if we're not functioning in stage 1 in every area, there's room for improvement. So, to say, God, I kill the pigeon, and I invite the dove. That's a good word right there. That dove that is single-eyed, that focuses on the Holy Spirit, that focuses on Jesus, that focuses on the Father. Say, fill me. Cleanse me. Teach me to obey you. To where I will break the sins of the Father that went before me, that will no longer hinder me. I'll stand upon the inheritance of the kingdom that they walked in, and I will walk in what they didn't, because that's what you have given me. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.